Great to be on the broadcast once more today. God's good, God's gracious, God's kind, He's lovely. And so we see that loveliness expressed in the Lord Jesus Christ and shown to us in Christ. And today I want to speak about grace abounding to a crippled prince. You may be like Mike and say, I don't know what that's talking about, but I would direct your attention to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 4. 2 Samuel chapter 4 and verse 4. And it says, and Jonathan, Saul's son, like Saul, that's King Saul. Jonathan was his son. Okay, so Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son who was lame in his feet. He was 5 years old when the news came, the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel. And his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame. He became a cripple. And his name was Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth. Now then, let's get the full story. Turn over to 2 Samuel chapter 9. 2 Samuel chapter 9. It says this. And David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? Now remember, Saul, if you know a little bit about the Bible, okay, let's say you don't. Saul had been the king of Israel. He'd been defeated and beaten by the Philistines. His son, Jonathan, was killed, and Saul was killed. And now, eventually, David becomes the king overall. Okay? And so he says, is there any that's left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? Notice that phrase, for Jonathan's sake. And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they called him unto David, and the king said unto him, are you Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame in his feet. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel in Lodabar. And then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. And when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, behold, thy servant. And David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan, thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul, thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon a dead dog as I am? And then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread, eat his food always at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. And then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, saith the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were the servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame. in both his feet. Have you ever heard that story before? It's an amazing, amazing piece of, well, just an amazing story. David, he's now a super king. He's the great and mighty monarch he was. Once a shepherd boy, but he has gone from that, gone on to conquer the Philistines, the Moabites, the surrounding nations. Even the Egyptians are glad to have diplomatic relations with this man. Wow. You know, if there ever was an illustration of what God can do with a man, it's that of David. He went from being a shepherd to being a sovereign. He went from running errands to reviving and ruling the nation. Ah, yeah, but Brother Miles, he was a man of great ability, you say. Oh, well, that's true. He was great ability. He did have it. But you know where David got his ability? Psalm 18, verse 35, he says, "Thy gentleness has made me great. Thy gentleness has made me great." My goodness, if anybody knew the power of God's hand upon his life, it was David. In his early days at Saul's court, David had befriended Jonathan, the king's son, and Saul had tried to kill David many, many times. You should read this stuff. It's amazing. And Jonathan would help David and warn him of Saul's intentions, and they became phenomenal friends. And so strong was the bond between Jonathan and David that they entered into a covenant, an agreement, a binding agreement. You can read about that in 1 Samuel 20, verses 14 to 17. That's 1 Samuel 20, 14 to 17. Now, we're picking up the story. Many years have passed. And David is at the height of his success. Saul, the great rebel against God, is dead. He's killed in battle alongside of Jonathan. Killed in battle. And David asks, is there anybody left of Saul's house that I may show kindness? The whole house had been wiped out, basically. Is there anybody left of Saul's house that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? Why for Jonathan's sake? Because they had been in covenant. And because of Jonathan, he says, because of Jonathan, I want to be merciful. I want to be kind. Are there any, not just a son, not just somebody related, said, are there any of the house of Saul? Boy, this is good gospel ground. Wow. See, David was willing to show kindness to anyone of Saul's household for Jonathan's sake. And so the Father is willing and ready to show us kindness because of Christ's sake. And are there any left, rich or poor, great or small, black or white or brown, any that I can be merciful to? That's what the Father is asking. Because of Jesus, are there any that I can be merciful to? Let me remind you that God loved his people, but the only way he could give us that love which would save and rescue us, is through the Lord Jesus Christ, whom he set forth as a wrath offering for our sins. And Titus, remember Titus? Titus chapter 3. Yeah, I know some of you are turning there. Some of you don't have Bibles with you, but that's all right. Titus chapter 3, verse 3. For we ourselves were sometime foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice. This is verse 3. We were living in malice and envy and hateful and hating one another. This is a picture of what we're like before God has mercy on us and redeems us. But he says, verse 4, Titus 3, after the kindness and love of God our Savior towards man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Is that not amazing? An amazing set of scriptures. God has shown us kindness. Why? Because we were good. No, it's not by works of righteousness. It's not by what we have done. But he has shown us kindness for Jesus' sake. It's because of Christ Jesus we are saved. Because of Christ Jesus we are redeemed. Oh, I hope we to be able to get this through to somebody today. You're trusting yourself, but that's not how you can say, oh yeah, I'm going to keep the Ten Commandments. I'm going to be as good as possible. Well, that's nice, but that won't save you. You're only saved because of what Jesus has done. And if you are saved today, listening to me, or tonight, or whatever time it is when you listen to this, if you are saved already, it's because grace has abounded towards you in Jesus. So I desire to magnify the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and be filled. I hope that we're filled more with wonder and appreciation. So of appreciation of him and his grace. So let's look at Mephibosheth. Let's look closely at this man. What a funny name, Mephibosheth. It has a meaning, like most of the names we encounter in Scripture. It has a meaning. It literally means shameful thing. Ooh. And because of that, I'm going to say that it's a picture of the unsaved man. Isaiah 64, verse 6. We all as an unclean thing. That's what we're like. Unsaved. We're like an unclean thing. Our understanding is darkened so that we cannot understand. We're depraved, we're corrupt, like sheep going astray, opposed to God. Hearts desperately wicked, serving ourselves, our plans, our future. Oh, we'll throw God in there. We mention him occasionally. Oh, if we're in trouble, we'll pray. If we're not in trouble, we won't pray, because we're in charge. Oh, yeah, a shameful thing. We're like Mephibosheth. Our very righteousness is like an unclean rag. And unless God graciously saves, nobody's getting saved out of that. And the story is that when news came through of the battle, Mephibosheth had a nurse and she grabbed the boy, he was five, and they ran, made a run for it, and that's when the fall happened. He fell down, she dropped him, and he became lame. He was a fugitive. Wow. Does that not sound like an unsaved man? Does it not? On the run. I know I was on the run from God before he saved me. I didn't know you. I would have denied it if you'd said, oh, Miles McKee, you're on the run. This is way back in 1972. Now you're on the run. I would have denied it. I kept running into Christians all the time. I'm trying to get away from God, and he's sending Christians in my life and handing me tracts and doing all kinds of things. I was on the run. In fact, my opening prayer to God was, all right, you win. I didn't have a formal prayer, but that was it from my heart. You win. I saw that I'd been running from God, running, pushing him away. Oh, yeah. So Mephibosheth is a picture of a man on the run. He was taken and carried on the run. You know what? Sin will make a coward of you, my friend. Yeah. Why is it big, strong men don't want to go to gospel meetings? A lot of times it's because they're scared to get confronted by His Majesty, the Sovereign Lord God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, and fear causes us to be fugitives. And he fell. He was crippled. Poor woman carrying him, panicked. Maybe the Philistines were showing up. I don't know what was happening, but he fell and he became a cripple. And, you know, that's an accurate picture of mankind. The natural man, the unsaved man, is unable to run the way of God's commandments. The unsaved man is without strength, Romans 5:6. We are lame in both our feet, and unless God saves us, we can't get saved. Did you hear me? Unless God saves us, we can't get saved. And Mephibosheth is crippled through a fall. The nurse made haste and he fell. And in the panic of the hour, she dropped him. You know, man wasn't originally made lame. No, when God made man, he was very good, but the fall crippled him. The fall of Adam crippled him. And those now who are in the flesh, those unsaved, cannot please God. God, how can a man who's fallen through sin, how can a woman who's fallen through sin, how can a young person who's fallen through sin be saved unless grace abounds to them? Well, where did this man Mephibosheth live? Well, he didn't live in Jerusalem. Jerusalem means the city of peace. Well, in 2 Samuel, we read it. Chapter 9, 2 Samuel, verses 3 to 4, he lived in a place called Lodebar. That's a great name, isn't it? Lodebar. Where are you from? I'm from Lodebar. Well, do you know what it means? It means the place of no pasture. It was a desert place. He wasn't living in Jerusalem. He was living in a desert place. And here, you're either at peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, or you're living in a place of no pasture. You, my friend, I'm not judging you, but you're in the desert. You're in the desert. You're not in the city of peace, and there's no peace, said the Lord to the wicked. Isaiah 48:22. And if you're outside of Christ, you're in a place of no pasture. You're in the place of death, spiritual death. And there's no food for your soul. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And what does that mean? Well, it means many things. But you're subject to legal death. The judge has put on his black cap and death row awaits you. Oh, and if you're to be saved, it's going to have to be by the grace of God. Mephibosheth, his name means shameful thing. He was a fugitive, is a fugitive, and a cripple. And this is the condition of man, the unsaved man today, unsaved people today. If you're not saved, that's your condition. I'm not preaching down at you. I've been there. But I want you to see how good Jesus is, how great he is, how merciful he is, how wonderful he is. And if I stopped this message right now, I would not be faithful to tell you the full story. We've read the full story, but notice David, he said, is there anyone yet left of the house of Saul that I may show mercy to? It was David's idea to give mercy. And just likewise, it's the Father's idea to give us mercy. God, the Father, planned redemption. Yeah, totally. Is there anyone yet left, says David? And what did David do when he heard of Mephibosheth? Did he say, Mephibosheth? What a terrible thing. But I'll tell you, because of Jonathan, I'll watch you for a while. I'll look at you and see whether you're worthy of my attention. No, he didn't do that. Well, what did he do? Let me ask you, did David send a pair of crutches and say to Mephibosheth, here, Mephibosheth, I'd like to see you, but hobble along here. Let me help you. No, it didn't say anything like that. The scripture says David sent and fetched him. That's the way grace works. And if Christ had died and risen, but not sent his Spirit after us to fetch us, none of us would have been saved. So how did Mephibosheth respond? Read the story. He fell on his face. Boy, that's a fitting position for one whose life depended on mercy. Yeah, a fitting position for one whose life depended on mercy. It's a portrait of a trembling sinner who is brought before the Almighty God. Let me ask you, are you prepared to bow before God? Have you ever felt the power of your sin? It's bringing you death. Will you bow before God? Do you hear the call? Do you hear that he's sent to fetch you? And so Mephibosheth is brought as a trembling person before David, and we come before God initially trembling before the Almighty, bowing ourselves before God. And what did David say? Well, just one word, 2 Samuel 9:6. And what was that word? Mephibosheth. Oh, the good shepherd always calls us by name. He knows your name. Jesus knows your name. He knows who you are. He knows where you are. He knows what you're thinking. He knows your struggles. He knows your successes. He knows all about you. Mephibosheth. Yeah, David called by name, and the Lord calls us by name. Moses was called by name. Zacchaeus was called by name. Saul, who became Paul, was called by name. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It's a personal salvation. He knows your name. We are not just somebody in general to us. We are special. He knows you. He knows your name. He knows all about you. And then he says, fear not. Wow. Boy, what great words. You know, you can come to the Lord God Almighty and not fear because of grace. Because of grace. That's if you're saved. If you're a believer. So fear not. And then he says, I will restore all that was lost in Saul. I'll restore it. Boy, that's grace. And you're to come and eat at my table. From now on, eat at my table, the king's table. Wow, that's amazing. Grace, pure and simple. Did you notice what Mephibosheth gets back? Well, first of all, he gets all his life back because the king didn't kill him. He gets peace. Fear not. He gets an inheritance. All that was Saul's is now yours. He's no longer at Lodibar. He's eating bread at the king's table, and he's sitting at the table as one of the king's son. No wonder the scripture says, behold, what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we should be called the sons of God. He's shown us mercy. Why? For Jesus' sake. David calls his actions the kindness of God. Verse 3, check it out. Now, why would he do that? Someone would say, well, you know, all this way that he is being magnanimous. Well, great in mercy. He's a great and merciful king. And others would say, well, David, you're being very, very stupid here too, because, you know, it was common knowledge that when you took over a royal house, you'd get rid of the old guard in case they rose up at a later date and tried to take back the throne. But David lets us know that he's not being stupid. He's not being a great guy. He shows us that the very kindness of God, which he had promised to Jonathan, is in effect. 1 Samuel 20, the kindness of God, keeping his covenant. Mephibosheth received favor, not by anything that he had done, but because not because he was in some way worthy. He received favor, grace, because of a covenant. which was made before he ever was born. And so it is with us. When we obtain favor with God, it was not because of any personal claim we had on him. And like Jonathan's son, we only deserved separation and punishment and banishment. But because of the love God bore towards us, towards our mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the love that's come through to us. We have received this marvelous kindness because of Jesus, not because of us, because of Jesus. And if I'm saved today, it's because Jesus has saved me. If I'm forgiven today, it's because Jesus has forgiven me. And this is true of you too. So what effect did all this grace have on Mephibosheth? Did he get a swelled head? Did he get all puffed up and say, Mephibosheth? No. He bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that you should look upon a dead dog such as I? Grace always works on us a sense of our own unworthiness. Hello, I'll say that again. Grace always works in us a sense of our own unworthiness. Maybe you feel like a dead dog. Wherever you are listening to this broadcast, you feel like a dead dog. Everything you have tried has just gone wrong. But you know, that's what it's going to be outside of Christ. Yeah. But when you understand how God has been gracious, you will be amazed that the Lord would give you mercy. And when you start to get that amazement that you, this undeserving sinner, have begun to get mercy, you're starting, that's the Holy Spirit beginning to work in you. And it's marvelous. Come to him. Let me say it. Trust in him. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Throw your case upon him. He's the greatest lawyer in the universe. God, through Christ, will be merciful. Well, David abounded in grace towards Mephibosheth. Why? Because of Jonathan. Because of a covenant. And God has abounded in grace towards us through Jesus Christ. It's not wonderful. Totally. And it's because of Jesus that we have eternal life. And it's because of Jesus we can obtain forgiveness. And it's because of Jesus we have access to God. And if Jesus hadn't come, we would not have been given mercy. Hello, listen, we would not have been given mercy if Jesus didn't come. Everything hangs upon him. Upon him, not upon you, not upon the religion, not upon your church, not upon the minister. It depends on Jesus. If Jesus hadn't come, we would not have found mercy. We would not have been given mercy. If Christ had not appeared in this world, then hell would have been our portion, the lake of fire. So I thank God for Jesus, the Lord Jesus. I thank God. He's lovely. He's impeccable. Yeah, that means sinless. He's the sinless Son of God. Where would we be without him? We can do nothing without him. Without him, we are nothing. Look, I don't understand. There's lots of the Bible I don't understand. I don't understand everything that Paul meant when he penned 1 Timothy 2:5, telling us there's one mediator the one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And he goes on and he says that he gave himself a ransom. I don't understand all that. But I know this, if the ransom wasn't made, I'm not saved. I'm not ransomed if he didn't ransom. And if we're saved tonight, it's because grace has abounded towards you. If you are saved, grace has abounded towards you in Jesus Christ. He's given himself a ransom for you. Now, I want to bring this to an end. Thanks for listening. You've listened well. But here's the final thought. Mephibosheth received abounding grace. But All his life he remained a cripple. There never came a time when he wasn't totally dependent upon the grace of the King. And so it is with us. Although our walk is improved greatly with some of us, we're still cripples. We're still totally dependent upon grace. It's the King who keeps us standing. And where did Mephibosheth sit? He sat at the King's table. And where were his feet? They were under the table. And that tablecloth had its hid his infirmity from view. And so it is with us. Our sins are hidden from view by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our sins and iniquities he remembers no more. And that is the gospel truth.